It's time for Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Laker Hockey Talk is brought to you by H&R Block. And now with Laker Hockey Talk, here's the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, on ESPN 1400.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Laker Hockey Talk, another edition on a Thursday morning. Lakers getting set to head out. In fact, they'll be heading out here this morning as they go to Michigan Tech to play this weekend, and Damon Witten's with us. And, you know, this will be a tough assignment, but it's the first of three tough assignments. We've got three straight road trips. We're going to Tech this weekend, Ferris State in 2 weeks, and then down to Michigan after that. So get ready for bus trips.
Yeah, an important stretch of the schedule, no question about it. And, you know, it's exciting. I mean, going into some really good venues against some really good teams. You know, as coaches, Bill, we're not looking at Ferris or Michigan. You know, we're just worried about tomorrow night when that puck drops against a very good Michigan Tech team. But, you know, our guys have responded well. We've only had one road trip, but it's good to get on the road and kind of really just close the fort, and you really get narrowed in just on hockey. At home, there's so many distractions and so much else going on, and the rigors of school and the routines there. So sometimes getting on the road is a little bit of a good timing for that, to just focus on hockey and be ready to play Friday night and then try to come up with a victory against a very good Michigan Tech hockey team.
Yeah, they're good on their own ice too. They've lost some games early here in the season, but those were against Minnesota State and Duluth, two of the top teams in the country, so it's a little understandable. They also lost a pretty good goaltender in Jamie Phillips last year. They've been trying to solve that problem. So what kind of team do we expect on Friday night at Michigan Tech out of the Huskies?
Well, a team that skates extremely well. Their skating ability, the pace they play with, makes it a very difficult matchup. Their D-core may be the deepest and strongest D-core from top to bottom in the league. I think they're all draft picks. Maybe one playing is not a draft pick, but they've got five or six draft picks on the back end. Really good, really skilled, really mobile, and it makes for a really big challenge. You know, we've got to find ways to make them defend, whether it's puck possession off the rush and gaining the zone with speed, or establishing a good forecheck where we're getting after them and disrupting breakouts so that we can spend some time in the offensive zone and get to that goaltender, which you said has been a little bit of a challenge, although it's solidified a little bit here lately.
Yeah, they've gone to using Angus Redman for the most part. He's the freshman goaltender, and you know a little bit about him. You helped recruit him to Michigan Tech. Pretty good goaltender. He committed when he was very young to Tech, and I think he's probably pretty happy there, and he's playing the major role right now.
Yeah, he is now, and I know early on with their road slate, they went with some of their older veteran goaltenders to try to get the job done, and they didn't seem to be able to do it. So once they had a couple home games, they got him in the rotation and had a really strong weekend versus Northern Michigan, and has played every game since. So yeah, he's a good goaltender, and obviously he solidified that position for them a little bit. And as you mentioned, he was one of the guys that Billy McCult and I were involved with before we left there, so know him pretty well. He was a young kid back then, and he's really been fun to watch him develop and blossom into a very good goaltender in the BC League, and then, you know, getting an opportunity to roll there. So, but filling Jamie Phillips' shoes is not easy. You know, he was a Hobie Baker candidate, I believe, the last 2 years, a Winnipeg draft pick, you know, had just tremendous, tremendous years, and really fit what they needed on that team with that D-core. So we've got to find ways to challenge and get quality pucks to the net, and they don't make it easy. You know, not only that D-core, but their forward group obviously is very skilled as well. So a real big puck possession battle game against Michigan Tech.
Now, Michigan Tech, what kind of special teams do they have? Have they had success on the power play this year? And how's their, I would think their penalty kill is probably pretty good. They've got the young goaltender, but the real solid defensive core in front of him.
Yeah, well, the PK numbers aren't great, and I don't know if it stemmed from a couple games or early on. You know, I've gone back to their Mankato weekend to look at some of the way they've given up goals. So, you know, their numbers probably aren't quite where they need them to be or want them to be. But as we always talk about, your goaltender has to be your best penalty killer, and again, they're getting that. So it's improved with their goaltending switch, and you know, they do things a little bit differently. They give you some time and room up top. We're aggressively, very aggressive down low as we move pucks down to the goal line. So we'll have to make sure we're exploiting some matchups up top and creating that space and time. We obviously had a tremendous start to our power play early in the year, and that's not been quite as good lately. So we've got to ratchet that back up. And then power play, they're very good. They've got some skill. It runs through their D once again. So we'll make sure we're up to the task there. And Doug and his crew will have to be ready to do a good job. I'm hoping it'll be a little bit like Mankato with the way both of our teams play. You know, there's not a lot of scuffles and things like that after the whistle. We want to play 5-on-5 hockey, play between the whistles, and I know Tech's the same way. So really hoping for a weekend of pace and skill and really limited special teams.
Yeah, I think Michigan Tech's always tough at home too. Last year we lost a couple of games to them there, and it got a little feisty a few times. They're tough to play against, and I don't think the Lakers have won there in the last 6 or 7 times they've played on that ice surface.
That's a good venue. I mean, they've had tremendous crowds. When Mel got back there and started winning, it really rebuilt, and it mirrors a little bit what we've done here as well, and that style of play is a part of it. Is going back to my second year there, we didn't have the results, but fans were talking about, boy, we're having fun coming to the hockey game, we're playing with pace, playing with skill. And so that's really evolved there just like it has here. So I'm sure it'll be a full building, and that gets us on the edge. They've got a tremendous student section. They got 12,000 students, and they pack them into the rink there, so we'll be excited. I think when we went there last year, our team's different, their team's different, so I don't think there's a carry over or a build up, anything like that. I thought that was a little bit all blown out of proportion when you watch those games back. And so, we're not worried about it. It's a new year. We're a new team, a lot like Mankato, where we want to see, how we measure up. This has been a team that we haven't been able to beat the last few years, or the last handful of years, really. And so if we're going to take a step, this is another one of those teams where we have to match up better and find a way to win hockey games. And I think we've seen this year we're a lot closer to doing that. Now it's up to Friday night. We've got to get there and go do it, and we'll be ready for it.
Yeah, they got some veterans on defense. We've talked about that. Some NHL draft picks there. Good young goaltender in Rittmond. What do they got up front? They got Reed Sturros back. They lost quite a few good players, so who else is back who could be testy up front?
Well, they've got good players, and they're going to wake up. So you've got a guy like Joel Esperon sitting at, I think, 2 or 3 goals on the year. Last year, he had 15 or 16. Tyler Hannan is the same situation. He had 16 goals last year. He's sitting at 2 or 3, so they're not going to struggle all year long. At some point, they're going to break out and get back to those goal-scoring ways. So, we can't let it be this weekend. We've got to be very alert to those two guys. You mentioned Reed Sturros. He had a great freshman year while I was there, and then the last 2 years, he hasn't quite got back up there. Ton of NHL interest after his freshman year, and now he's back to that freshman year level. He's been one of their most consistent players early on. He's just an absolute phenomenal skater, so he challenges you with speed. He's a good penalty killer. He forechecks hard, so he's another tough matchup guy. And then a couple of guys I don't know as well. Alex Smith, one of their freshmen, is having a good year. I wasn't involved with Alex, so a couple of new guys we have to be alert to as well. But there's talent there, and they haven't probably consistently scored at the level they've had the last couple of years. But again, I think when Lesperance, Hannon, and get going, it's a much different team. And we've got to make sure we have the matchups and find a way on the road to get the D pairings we now needed out against their top lines to not allow those guys to wake up and get rolling.
Yeah, you're listening to Laker Hockey Talk this morning on ESPN 1400. Bill Crawford along with the head coach of the Lakers, Damon Whitten. Damon, we're going to Michigan Tech this weekend. We've been talking about that here. Let's talk a little bit about the Lakers and the things they are doing really well right now. I know when we had the Laker Hockey Show on Tuesday night, you weren't real happy with Tuesday's practice. How did things go on Wednesday? What are you looking for this weekend out of this team?
Well, a lot better. Our guys, they get it. I mean, you're not going to go through a whole season and not have an off game or a couple off practices. So, snapped them back into shape. Even though the Tuesday practice wasn't great, we still got some positive things out of it and, worked on some things that way. But it made Wednesday go a little bit longer so we could cover the areas that we needed to cover. And that's fine. This time of year, we're still fresh. We're still ready to go. So, we're able to make up for that day that we weren't as sharp as we need to be. We need to keep doing what we're doing. We need to get better day by day. We've got the sophomore class that I think still continues to lead the highest scoring class in the nation. The freshmen have done a good job. They're one of the top scoring freshman classes in the nation. We've talked about our very steady, solid junior D-men that have been great for us. And, Tech's got to be looking at Gordy Dayfield and saying, how do we get to him? You saw Mankato try try to be very physical with him. And, you know, I don't know, four or five real good bumps or hits on Gordy. So, you know, we have to make sure we protect him and not allow guys to get to our paint. But we'll need a good weekend out of Gordy to have success.
Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk more about the Laker players and the seasons they're having. We'll be right back with more Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
At H&R Block, we want you to focus on your business while we handle your books. From payroll and bookkeeping to expert tax preparation and advice, we're ready to put our expertise to work on your small business. For the year-round services you need and the one-on-one attention you deserve, partner with H&R Block Business Services. Stop by our office at 3303 I-75 Business Spur in Sioux, Michigan, or give us a call at 906-635-5970 to learn more. At participating offices, services do not include audit, attest, or other services for which a license is required. And now back to Coach Witten and Bill Crawford for more Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
Well, welcome back to Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Bill Crawford along with the head coach of the Lakers, Damon Witten. And Damon, we've got some players who are really excelling early in this season. They're scoring goals. I think Gage Terrell's got 5 goals now. Diego Cuglietta has 5 goals. Lots of players with points, led by Mitch Holtz, who has 13 points on the season, and he's been really good. JT Henke's got 10 points. So does Owen Hedrick. Got a lot of guys who are playing really well right now offensively, which is out of the norm for the Lakers, and you're one of the top scoring teams in goal production in the country.
Well, yeah, we are the top scoring along with Harvard, so it's a good spot to be. You know, I don't know if it sustains the whole year or when, you know, when that drops off. You know, at some point you expect to maybe come back down a little bit, but the thing we really like about it is the depth. You know, Hanky's up there. He's on a different line than Diego, who's up there, who's on a different line than Mitch, who's up there with Gage and Gelsinger. So our depth has really been important to us this year. You know, Jake Can's a little bit snake bitten right now, but when Jake Can gets going or gets that first one out of the way, then that Diego, the Cuglietta Corielli hand line becomes that much more dangerous. You know, they've been a line that's done a good job, you know, going against some of the top lines. So we've got good depth. We've got lines who can play both a shutdown defensive role and provide offense. So that's really been the critical point. You know, the individually, yes, you know, Mitch is up there, and Hanky and Diego and Gelsinger and Terrell, they're all having strong years, but it's really been the depth of this team up front. You know, we don't get into, you know, Josh Nennendahl, who had some big goals for us last year. He finally got on the board last year. You know, Luke Morgan's kind of more on that Nennendahl, you know, so-called fourth line, if you want to number him that way. And I think Luke's a point-of-game guy now and jumps around, plays some different roles for us. So it's been really a balanced scoring attack, and that's a tough matchup for the teams we play.
Yeah, tough. A good start for a kid like Braden Gelsinger. He's got 4 goals, 9 points. His line mate Gage Terrell, 5 goals, 9 points. That's great production. They play with Mitch Holtz up front. You know, another guy I've been really impressed with early this season has been Max Humitz. He's not a very big player physically, but he plays big. He's got tremendous skill. I think I described him as being able to stick handle in a phone booth when he scored that goal against Mankato, the 4th goal of the game on the Friday night 5-1 win. He's been really good.
He really has, you know, and I think, you know, as our fans listening, you know, we always talk recruiting and who's coming in where and looking at the drafts or the boards and, you know, trying to project where guys at. He's a great example of being over ready. You know, in college hockey is unique compared to football and basketball, where kids come right in as true freshmen. But our model's been different for a long time for various reasons. And, you know, Max comes in as a 20-year-old, aged out of the USHL, played 3 or 4 years in that league, won a championship, you know, lost in a championship round the year before. So he's so ready to play at our level. He's played against all the top players we play against in that league. His hockey IQ is just, you know, really, really exceptional. And I don't want to say he surprised us because, you know, obviously we recruited him, we liked him, but he's come in and, you know, exceeded where we thought he would be this early on. You know, he's going to get better because he's going to continue to get stronger. But really, a really good start for Max. We use him in every situation, every role, and you know, he's done a really tremendous job so far, and we look forward to his continued growth.
You know, another forward who's probably has surprised a little bit is Ian Johnson. He could have played junior again this year. He's at that age level, but he's come in here and done a really nice job. He's got good skill. He's a fairly physical player, and he's kind of tough to shove out of the lineup right now.
Yeah, and he's probably the other side of that. Like you mentioned, he could go back and, you know, be a little bit more over ready and get a little bit more physically more mature. mature and stronger. So I think that's, you know, Ian's area is strength and heavy on pucks, needs to improve a little bit, which isn't surprising when you're 18, 19 playing 24-year-olds, 23-year-olds, and guys who've been around a little bit. But he's been good. You know, he's done a good job. And like you said, you know, he's playing most nights now. And we haven't seen really, you know, even the tip of the iceberg. He's a power play guy. He's a high skill guy. But with where our power play was, returning players and a good start, he hasn't really gotten much of a chance there yet. So we've got to continue to work him into some power play opportunities and roles. But I think he's going to be a really good player. You know, and we talked about Wednesday, you know, who's coming in next year, who's not coming in next year. You know, there's a guy that's, you know, not played a bigger role as he's able to, but he's going to be a guy that takes, I think, a really big step as this season progresses into next year. I think fans are really going to see that skill, that poise that Ian Johnson possesses.
Yeah, and it makes it tough for some of the veteran players, the guys who are sophomores, even a junior or two, to get in the lineup. You got guys playing really well right now. Back on defense, I think that Colin Sackleman and Crispin Dulles are as they were advertised. I remember Rich Mitro talking about them before I'd ever seen them play and saying, these guys will fit right in. They're going to come in. They'll be able to play all the time. They have played all the time. They've made it really tough for a couple of veteran defensemen to get in the lineup.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I think, you know, what you see with those two guys is a skill set, you know, a stick skill where, you know, we're trying to be a skill team, a puck possession team. So Chris and Colin, both with their skating and their passing ability, they can go back, break out pucks, make a tape-to-tape pass instead of chipping glass and then chasing pucks down. So they've been very good. You know, they've had a good start, you know, with them and Ian and Max and Gelsinger. You know, at some point you worry about a little bit of a freshman wall. So, you know, they've got to stay on it, continue to play well. But we do have those junior defensemen, Ryan Renz and Jimmy Roll, who haven't been in yet. They've played a lot of hockey for us. We know they're capable of doing it. You know, I think the way the D is shaped out, you know, obviously it's pretty apparent. We kind of have a set top six at this point. So whether it's an injury or just the right timing, you know, some of it's matchups. You know, when we look at the Michigan Tech, we're going to take one of those guys based on their skating ability and their pace. When we go to Ferris a week out, we're probably going to take the other guy based on the compete level and the kind of the nastiness of the game down at Ferris. You know, they've got to stay patient. They've been tremendous through it so far early on here. We know it's not easy, and we ask a lot of those guys. They still have to come and make us better every day in practice, and they're doing that. And you know, they just have to be a little bit patient to find their spot. Then when they get their opportunity, they have to be ready to grab onto it and not relinquish it.
Yeah, it's been really impressive so far. The freshmen are fitting right in. The sophomores have picked right up where they left off last spring, getting that big win in the three-game series at Minnesota State. And this is a team that's it's holding its own, fourth place right now, but I think it could be really, really good as the season goes on with the depth you've got.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, we got some games in hand. So I think if you look at losses, you know, we're right up there with anybody beyond that Bemidji team who's just had a, you know, a phenomenal start. So we do, you know, we've got a mirror last year where we got better and better as the months progressed and the season progressed. I think we will. You know, the culture in our locker room and the mindset of our players is very strong. You know, they want to be hockey players, you know, along obviously with being student athletes, but their mindset is in the right place to improve and get better day by day. And so, you know, we've kind of hit the classes and individual guys, and we don't talk about the seniors because we only have the one senior. And you know, it really does start with Gus. He's our captain. He's done a really good job. He's playing great. Him and Diego have been absolute monsters on the penalty kill, done a tremendous job. And you know, also matching up, you know, a lot of nights they're matching up against the other team's top line or two. And you know, so Gus, it starts right there at the top with him, and our lone senior's done a really good job of leading us.
Yeah, we haven't really mentioned much. We talked about the two freshman defensemen, and they've both done a great job for you. But, you know, I think Matt McArdle and Owen Hedrick have matched up really well. They've done a tremendous job. I don't see any real strong weakness anywhere. Certainly with Aiden Wright and Kyle Chatham, there's nothing there to criticize, really. And that's why it's so tough for a Renz and a Roll to get the lineup right.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the guys have done a good job of not allowing that, solidifying that group. But, yeah, you're right. You know, we talked about Chatham and Wright on the radio show Wednesday night, and they've done a great job. You know, they're at first penalty killers over the boards. Again, they get the matchup of the other team's top line or two and try to shut them down. They've done a very good job that way. And then you mentioned McArdle. You know, Owen Hedrick gets his publicity because of the offensive output and the power play ability, and he's done a good job. Matt McArdle's been a little bit of the forgotten man back there. And he's made a tough adjustment this year because he's a righty. He's playing with Colin Sackerman, who's also a righty. So Matt has drawn the responsibility of playing as offside, which is not an easy thing to do. And it's really helped him. He's done a really good job on that offside, supporting Colin and working in partners together. Again, it's a little bit of a tough change to make, but Matt's done a good job. He's been very good, and you know, it's another D pairing. He's a top penalty killer as well, so it's been a good balance. We have some power play D, some penalty kill D, so the minutes are well distributed, and Matt's done a good job.
Yeah, and you've got your goaltending solid. We mentioned a few moments ago Gordy Dayfield. He's been very good. He's lost one game so far this season. He started most of the games, but you got Nick Kossoff right there. He played well when he's had a chance, and he can come in and play. Good depth here all the way around, even in goal.
Yeah, it is. Yep. Gordy's, left off where he picked up. You know, he hasn't had to have been, overly sharp early on because of the offense we've had. So I thought Friday night was his best game of the year, and we needed that to hold our margin and keep that goal lead. And then, Saturday, obviously, like you said, he took his first loss, and, not a lot of work. I was happy with our team defense. We did a really good job of limiting grade A's against a good team. So that's been good. And, Nick will have to work to get back in there. He's very capable. Three shutouts last year, and Gordy's gone after this year as a junior. So we've got to continue to find spots to develop Nick and have him prepared, whether it's to take over this year or next year.
All righty, we're kind of out of time here today. We're getting on the bus here this morning and heading for Michigan Tech. Friday night's game at 7:05. Same thing on Saturday. We'll have those games for you on Yes FM 99.5 on your dial. And Damon, another Laker Hockey Talk. Thanks for talking to us and taking the time today, and good luck this weekend.
Yeah, everybody tune in, listen in to the call there. It'll be a couple exciting games, and we're not back home December 2nd, 3rd, so make sure you schedule that and tune into the Lakers. Thank you.
All righty, Damon Whitten joining us. Laker Hockey Talk in the books here. We'll be back next Thursday morning on ESPN 1400.
You've been listening to Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400, brought to you by H&R Block. Join us next week for another edition of Laker Hockey Talk, right here on ESPN 1400, WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie's sports leader.